When something is important enough, you do it even if the odds are not in your favor. Elon Musk. My guest on this episode of the Passing the Torch is Shannon Corbey. She is a writer and actor, most recently known for her work as Officer Chef on ABC's The Rookie and Ensign Tripp on CBS's SEAL Team. A U.S. Air Force veteran, she served as an intelligence officer in South Korea and the National Security Agency. She has extensive experience writing and producing military stories. She has written and hosted hundreds of informational videos about military trivia with bylines on We Are the Mighty, Business Insider, and Military.com. After her military service, Shannon taught yoga and pole dance as she returned home to Los Angeles to pursue her professional career in the entertainment industry. Shannon recently performed at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. with Diavolo, Architecture in Motion, and completed a year-long screenwriting program at the Writers Guild Foundation. She is an ambassador for the nonprofit org Pinups for Vets, which raises money to help hospitalize veterans. Without further ado, please welcome actor, writer, Air Force veteran, Shannon Corbey. Shannon, how are you? And how was that intro? I was getting tongue-tied. That's a lot. That's a mouthful.
You nailed it. You nailed it. And I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much.
There's so much to unpack and so many things I want to ask you as
there's a lot. Just when you think you've got it, then I throw in pole dancing. Yeah, let's have some fun.
I really don't have a whole lot of questions. I really just want to kind of go with all my voice seemed cracked because I'm so excited and nervous. I really just want to go based off organic conversation. But as I'm researching you, we discussed before starting the episode, I'm active duty military. I know you're prior military. Actually, we're going to get to that in a second, right? I want to talk about the pole dancing because that's the very first thing that stuck out to me. Again, I just want to say thank you for joining me on the show for more than just give me your time because you actually reached out to me, which I have no idea how much that made my day. But secondly, I've battled a lot of personal just a lot of bad things over the past year and a half. This is the first podcast like I have actually recorded since October of 2019. I've had a lot of just a lot of bad things happening in my life. Just a really rough patch. You being a military veteran, you get it, right? Just all the things that we face as military. And I was just been in a rut for the past 18 months, but I wanted to just jump right back into the podcast. I don't have a professional studio, but I just wanted to get after it. And I'm just thankful. You and I have never met in person. We do have some mutual friends, but just thank you for your time. And just thank you just for just helping out a fellow military person and just for being there for me. Shannon, like sincerely, just thank you.
Well, I'm honored to be here and just with our short interactions so far, just preparing for this conversation. You're such a genuine person. So I'm really looking forward to this. And I also commend you for getting back into it. I mean, 2020 was a hard year across the globe. And then, you know, and that was universally. And then for anyone who also had additional pains and struggles, it was very overwhelming. So it can take some time to ease back into it. And the best thing that we can do is begin.
Awesome. Now, thank you for that. I want to follow up your compliment to me about being a genuine person. There's no good segue for this, so we're just going to do it. I imagine, like, I know at some point, you know, when you were active duty military, you decided, hey, I want to get into this entertainment acting, pursue it full time. And I know there was probably conversations that you had with various supervisors and bosses. But I guess the first question I have, this is actually one I wrote out because I'm so interested. Prior to separating from active duty, did you tell everyone you were getting out because of pole dancing?
So when I was active duty, I didn't tell anyone in the military about the pole dancing. I was just taking classes at a local fitness studio. And that's not something that I really shared, but the acting was something that I've always known I wanted to do ever since I was a kid. And while I was stationed in Maryland, I did start to perform. And so I invited people to come see me in Seussical the Musical if they wanted. I'm trying to, you know, I don't remember having any hard conversations about getting out. I think that my leadership knew that my mind was made up and I was set and there was no stopping me.
Well, speaking of hard conversations, because I've learned in the military and I've been in close for 20 years, and I know you did some time in the military. It's more than just having the hard conversations with people, but what about the hard conversations with yourself? Because the journey you're on, that was your passion before you got out of the military. That's a life-changing decision. So what kind of hard conversations did you have with yourself? And follow-up question to that, for anyone that's, because people in the military have hobbies and we're people. We're not just people in uniform. We have hobbies. We have things that we like to do. What's your advice to people who are maybe scared to pursue their passion?
With pursuing passions and hobbies, I think that humans are meant to be creative and artists. And as children, it comes very naturally to us to sing, to dance, to be playful, to color. At some point, as we become adults, we start to think we have to be good at it to do those things.
Yeah.
But really, just the act of creating is so rewarding. And I've found this to be true. Just instead of scrolling on my phone when I'm watching TV, I like to do something with my hands, like paint. Right before the pandemic, I got to take a workshop where I was able to go into a forge and actually create a dagger, you know? So there's the delicacy of paint, and then there's literally hammering iron. And I think people should just do what brings them joy. And if that is just for the sake of the pleasure of it, perfect. And if it's a calling, like, you know, what I'm doing with acting,
yeah,
then there, for me, I couldn't be happy unless I was pursuing it. And I pivoted after 9/11 to join the military, and I was proud to serve, but I could tell that the military wasn't where I was meant to be for my career, and that the creative arts were calling, and I just would have suffered if I wasn't pursuing this. And people will say that about acting specifically. If you can do anything else and be happy, you should. Because it takes years and years for it to become very rewarding in the way that we envision it to be.
No, I read that in Jenna Fisher's book. That's been mm-hmm. a huge guide for me. And because acting is something that I enjoy. But I've been hesitant and just scared to make that jump. You know, full time, but I am close to retiring from the military and we'll see what happens over the next couple years.
Just start taking classes. You know, you don't have to commit to that full time. Take classes and see what kind of classes you like and check out your community theater. You might have fun doing rehearsals in the evenings and performing or you might decide, no, I like on camera better. You know, I mean, you just start playing, you just start experimenting and you see what you enjoy. And for me, this is not about trying to be famous or living a certain like celebrity lifestyle. If someone is trying to be an actor for that, I just know they're going to suffer and it's not going to be worth it. Because for me, it's about there is nothing that makes me happier than putting on my costume and walking onto a set.
That's really cool. No, I love that. I had the chance when I was stationed out in Hawaii, I had the opportunity and luckily to be a part of Hawaii 5-0 and some of the other things that were filmed out there. So much fun just being around the cameras and like you said, the different costumes and everything. And it's just, it's very alive.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Speaking of being very alive, did you perform, am I saying this right? The Diavolo?
Yeah, Diavolo.
Yeah. So can you talk about the Diavolo and the Kennedy Center?
So Diavolo is this incredible modern dance, contemporary, you know, he says Jacques is the creator and they call it architecture in motion because it's something more than just dance. It's this incredible community of these movers, gymnasts, athletes.
Yeah.
And what's cool about them is Jacques will create architectural pieces, actual structures for the performers to interact with. And they do, I mean, their performances, they were finalists on America's Got Talent.
Wow. I
recommend that people look up those because they have, they've got a piece that looks like a rocking boat that they launch each other off of through the air and they catch each other. They have this incredible huge, they've got wheels, they've got pyramids. I mean, they're so innovative. And I could go on and on about them. They also do community outreach programs. So they do education in schools and they do movement workshops for students. And then they decided to do outreach to the veteran community. So they started holding veterans workshops where we were able to dance with the Diavolo dancers. We were mentored by them. Eventually we had our own architectural piece designed for us and a piece that was choreographed for us, and we had our own musical score, and then we were performing it on stage. And our first performance was at the American Legion Post 43 in Hollywood, and eventually we started to travel with it and we had the opportunity to go perform in Washington, D.C. at the Kennedy Center. And it was incredible. I couldn't believe it. And I mean, not only do we get to do this for free, but they also paid us a small stipend to do this. You know, they paid us for our time. And there is something, you know, we were talking about the arts. And I think for so many of us, this, you know, this wasn't a therapy program, but it was a way to start opening our hearts up again to different ways that we had locked them down, and different shields we'd thrown up and different barriers. And this pushed us physically. It got us back into our bodies. It pushed our comfort zones. We had to trust each other. It's incredible. And Diavolo continues to find innovative ways to help veterans across the country. They've gone to different universities and done programs, and I recommend that people look them up for their own viewing pleasure. And I recommend veterans follow them to see what kind of opportunities they have in the future.
No, that's great. That was an amazing rundown.
Thanks.
No, that was good. Even just a part about just, it's more than just kind of like a physical experience, right? It's an emotional and a mental and a spiritual. That's really cool. So with that, like you talked about just your experience with the Kennedy Center and you know, how they're giving back to the American Legion and various other veteran orgs. You have a pretty variety resume. So what are some of the other orgs that you're involved, veteran orgs that you're involved with?
I'm really lucky in that there's a robust veteran community within the entertainment industry, specifically in the Hollywood and greater Los Angeles area. When I first got out of the military, I was pretty, my heart felt very broken. My body felt broken. I didn't want anything to do with the military.
Yeah.
And I actually saw a program at the Geffen Playhouse where they were inviting veterans to come write and perform original pieces. And so I submitted to that thinking we were going to write and perform original plays.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going to perform a play at the Geffen. This is a dream come true. We ended up doing original monologues where we were deconstructing the idea of a hero. And this one did feel like therapy. It went, you know, it really broke. This was the first thing that really made me confront the losses that I had endured on active duty. And what I realized was everyone else in the room had gone through something similar. And this is a community of people who understood what it was like to serve. You know, it's a very unique experience, especially during times of conflict. And so that was really my first avenue towards connecting with the community again. Gina Elise, the founder of Pinups for Vets, was in the audience. She saw me perform and she introduced herself afterwards. And so I started volunteering with Pinups for Vets, and this, my community of friends began to grow. And I'm really lucky because there's nonprofits. We have Veterans in Media and Entertainment, which works to help with creative careers after service.
Yeah.
There are so many organizations, and I think it is so important for people because you have no choice but to have a community when you're on active duty. Sometimes you're literally living in bays and barracks and stuff with other people. And when you get out, all of a sudden you're on your own.
Yeah.
And so you have to find that community again. I strongly believe that. And I've been lucky enough to be able to find that in LA.
So I think I think we're roughly the same age. Just when I was looking at your resume and everything and your IMDb page and all different projects that you've been involved with. But, you know, for me, it's, you know, I have aspirations and things I want to do outside the military, but it's scary. So for someone like you, I applaud you because it takes a lot of courage. And I've always felt that, you know, true strength is more than how much you can lift inside of it in a gym, right? It's more than how much you can bench press or whatever. I think of strength, like vulnerability to me equals strength. You know, you talked about some of the wounds that you had, and you don't have to go into detail, just whatever you're comfortable with. But you talked about when you got out of the military, you know, I think it's standard for people to feel isolated and almost alone and afraid. But for you, people have a lot of, when we think of wounds, people always think of like physical wounds, like things that we can actually see. But there's a lot of wounds that are invisible. So what kind of, I guess, like, what are your thoughts on that? Or like, what are some invisible wounds and some fears that you had post-military and from the military?
So I've got two thoughts on that. The first one is that the military by design turns us into very effective warfighters, conditioned to neutralize our enemy on the battlefield. We're very good at that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not what human souls are meant to do or are meant to endure. And I strongly believe that really good therapy is very important after, especially after combat, but after service and after loss. So many of us have lost friends.
Yeah.
And so many of us have survivor's guilt. Or carry some kind of shame or burden or feeling like we didn't do enough. You know, it's pretty much impossible to live up to the idea of the hero, you know, and we've got our heroes on a pedestal. And I don't know that I've met anyone who feels like they were a hero, but so many of us joined with this idea of wanting to contribute in a powerful way. And it's hard to feel like you've done enough. And all of that kind of trauma can eat away at a person. And so I think it's so important to reduce this stigma around therapy and emotions and feeling them, because there is a lot to unpack with someone. It can take a long time, and you have to be the willing to do it when, you know, instead of just numbing, which is what, you know, or sucking it up, which is what so many of us do. And then that's true for physical stuff too. The military really jacks up bodies and tells you to suck it up. And you have to take care of your physical form. You have to be the one to take care of it. You have to be the one to say, my hip hurts. I shouldn't be lifting heavily on it right now. I need to take care of it until I can lift again. I might be able to get through today with this, but in 10 years, it's really going to reduce your quality of life.
Yeah.
And so, I think while on active duty, it's up to leaders to recognize that and to create a culture of like, keep your body in the best possible shape it could be in. And that means, healing injuries and not just pushing through them. Afterwards, it means advocating for yourself and finding the care and conditioning that you need. And it might also be moving towards your VA benefits. So many vets don't feel like they deserve to have those benefits. And the thing is, if the military damaged you in some way, then you are entitled to those benefits. You served, you did your job, and now it's the government's time to do their job and take care of you for it. And so I really encourage people to find out what their benefits are, to talk to other vets who have looked into those. And that doesn't just have to be injuries, you know, that could be your VA housing loan or something.
Yeah.
But I don't like the martyrdom that comes with being in the military. We can be strong and capable, and we can also protect ourselves and look after ourselves and keep ourselves healthy, whole, and thriving.
That's good. I want to take it on a lighter note, a transition. So speaking of hero and just, you know, people, that's great because you're right. People have this image. We watch these movies like, for me, for example, the movie 300. And I joined long before that movie came out, but people see like, you're like, yeah, you know, and they get inspired and they think they're going to be like this person that challenges this entire army. And that's not necessarily the case, right? There's no such thing as a one person army. But with that said, when you think of a movie image that depicts leadership, who or what comes to mind?
Most of our military films are really glorifying those hero moments. And I really struggle with military stories because they're either the, you know, I mean, Saving Private Ryan showed how awful it was on the beach. I mean, you can't really know unless you're in a situation like that.
Yeah, and that opening scene on the when they're storming Normandy or whatever, I mean, it's just a brutal scene. Yeah,
you know, but it and we should honor the people who go above and beyond, the people who are protecting others and serving others, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we are doing enough to show the full embodiment of the humans who are wearing the uniform. And we've started to, we've got different stories that show veterans with PTSD and stuff, but it's not all that dark either. So many of those are really dark. You know, I just watched Cherry on Apple TV, which was a real story. It was a true story about a young guy who, when he came back from, you know, he was a combat medic. When he came back from his deployments, he was traumatized. He became addicted. He struggled with addiction. He started robbing banks to pay for his addiction. And those stories are important as well because they should be warnings for people who aren't taking care of themselves. But I think it's really important to see the stories of people who learned how to do it well. You know, I'm trying to think of a really good leader. I think that's what you asked me, depicted in, you know, a military leader.
And it doesn't have to be military. It could be anyone. Just when you think of a movie image that depicts leadership. So it could be from any movie or any actress, actor, because heroes to me come from all different walks of life, whether it's, you know, different occupations, backgrounds, whatever the case may be. So it could be anything. You could even say, Gina Elise from Peanuts for Vets.
Gina is an incredible leader. She has the respect. She earns respect. She just, let's see. I want to get this right. Okay. Because Gina is incredible. She offers respect and she receives it in return, you know, mutual respect with Gina, but she also cares about people. She pays attention to them. She gives them opportunities to flourish. She is able to delegate, you know, she harnesses the skills of her team and she does it in a really positive and uplifting way. I love that. You said it doesn't have to be military. Ted Lasso is a great leader, you know,
man, right here. This is where you're living right here, Shannon. So, right. Go ahead. Preach. Go ahead.
You know, when I was a cadet, I was lucky enough to, I was recruited by one of the most incredible leaders that I've ever had the pleasure of knowing, Colonel Mac McIntosh. He taught us mission first, people always, you know, and you do have a mission and you've got to accomplish that mission, but you still, this is being done with people and you have to take care of people and we're not machines. an F-16 isn't going to have hurt feelings or isn't going to be haunted by what it sees in battle. Humans will. No matter how strong you are, no matter how capable, it's just not what our souls are meant to do. And the best thing that we could do is acknowledge that and take care of that part of ourselves that needs that care.
Was there ever a failure, or maybe an apparent failure, something you saw as a failure at the time in your past that has helped you succeed today with your current projects? Because you've done, I mean, you're all over the place in a good way with your projects and interests and stuff. But yeah, was there something where you're like, man, that was at the time you're like, my life's over? And then, because I mean, I know for me that there was something that happened when I was 17 that has still stuck with me to this day. And I'm 39 years old.
The biggest part of my journey. So when I was growing up, I really had the philosophy of just go for it, right? I used to say, the universe loves me and wants me to be happy. I was very fearless about trying anything, which, you know, is I was fearless about auditioning for plays and joining the military when I was 17 and, you know, submitting for scholarships and study abroads and just opportunities and fearless. And there's something about being an actor. You have to both be very in touch with vulnerability, but also very arrogant. It's like the height of hubris and just the height of vulnerability, you know. After the military, I said I felt very broken and I was not willing to really take risks. And it took me many, many years of gathering myself again. And it's hard for me to look back and not think that I wasted a lot of time just trying to be very, like, very safe, very careful. Don't make mistakes again. Get it right. Don't be hurt again. And what I'm learning now is you just have to go forth as if you cannot and will not fail. And so every project is taking me one step closer to that inevitable ending of success, whatever success is to each individual. And so I've started to, you know, I wrote a script in the Writers Guild Foundation program, wrote a script, and then I stuck it in a drawer for a few years. And now I'm like, get that script out. It got good feedback. How do we turn that into a great script? I wrote it so that I could shoot a feature film. I'm shooting this feature film. I've started submitting it for different grant applications.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
And I've linked up with a producer who has already made feature films before. I'm like, this isn't hypothetical for her. This is happening. It's real. So just starting to go forth with less fear and to not be afraid of failing in public. It just, you know, people are going to see what my short films look like as they get better over time. And that's why I like to keep them up on YouTube. You can see my very first ones, you know, when I was directing just one person, and then when I directed five, and then when I actually had a budget and a location instead of my parents' living room, you know. you have to do it. You have to make the life that you want. And it's really easy to get comfortable and to watch Netflix. And that's good too. That has a place. But for me, just learning to seize every opportunity and to enjoy the process and to understand that failure is also inevitable, but it's the trying and failing is going to teach me a lesson that's going to get me to the success I'm working for.
No, these are very quotable things. No, this is good stuff.
So, thanks.
Now you're like, I think you might need to add life coach or motivational speaker.
I think about this stuff a lot, you know?
No, that's good. Actually, I watched a video of yours last night on YouTube. I watched a couple, but there was, from We Are the Mighty, and it was something about like how to be a good CG company grade officer.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, just, you nailed it. You crushed it. And I loved it. It was great. I mean, there were so many great things. And I'm like, man, she's awesome. I wish I could have been that that senior in CEO for you. I think that'd been good. There was another one you had where you, veterans were answering questions and you were like, I'm not going to answer that one or something like that. I don't know. It was just good. And overall, I mean, you just seem happy, right? And it's inspiring. I mean, you're someone who's chasing their dreams, just making it happen. It's very motivating for me.
Thank you. Yeah. You got to do it. Got to go towards what you enjoy.
What is, like, you talked about your childhood and, you know, and just going for it. And, but between your childhood and being in the military, what is something that you learned in the military or your childhood that has stayed with you today and really served you well? Besides the you talked about just go for it, but was there just another principle?
I think something that that was true as a kid, you know, I had a really close-knit family. In the military, we talked about this, the community is strong, you're surrounded with people. Surround yourself with good people. We become a reflection of the five people we're closest to. And so finding the people who lift you up, who inspire you, it's very painful to feel alone. And I think that because community is a transaction that's mutual for both parties, we don't have to be alone. And so finding your people, it's a silly saying, but your vibe attracts your tribe, and whatever it takes, you know, to get those people who are going to enrich your life. And for me, also having people who are in this industry who are also doing things, I'm like, well, okay, my friend just booked something, so I've got, okay, what do I have to do to step it up and help increase the percentage of auditions that I'm getting? Or, okay, this person just made a short film and I've been dragging my feet on my short film, time to get going, you know? And hey, where'd you get the funding for your short film? Where would you recommend I start? I mean, having that community is priceless.
Speaking of projects, can you just talk about your project or the project This Is Me?
Yes. Oh, that was so cool. So that was Diavolo. And in June of 2020, so just a few months after the pandemic, they decided to help celebrate the stories of people on the front lines, of veterans. And so they had people who were in the medical field. They had people who were staying home, which was also doing your job. And we wrote our story, and Diavolo put it to dance. So they sent me my choreography, which I then practiced in my bedroom, which took some imagination because my choreography also involved these ramps that I had to climb up and hang off of and slide off of. And they were doing, you know, trying to keep physical distancing and sanitizing the structure every time someone touched it, having only critical parties in the room, keeping the airflow going. You had a very short period of time to, like, I think I had 45 minutes to get on the structures, try my choreography, and then run my single take piece from start to finish. And this is 3 months into a lockdown where I couldn't go to the gym. You know, this was not me in my prime. This was me after experiencing a really painful loss.
Yeah.
After struggling with physical fitness. And there was something very humbling about their title that they chose. Like, this is me. I wasn't there to try to impress anyone. I was there to offer a voice to the other people out there who who were struggling, who were just staying home, who felt helpless. And then the other stories within it were incredible. So they took I think there were maybe six of us. They took our stories, combined them into this short film. They edited it, and I mean, Diavolo is beautiful with their lighting and their visions. The cinematography was incredible. Like, our DP is out there with this shoulder rig. He's memorized our choreography so he could follow us around. I mean, and then they started playing it at different festivals. It's garnered some awards, and I know they have a plan for it in the future. I felt so grateful to get to be part of that experience and to have a creative outlet during a really dark time.
I do have two last questions, because you're just full of like just great answers today. And great. I'm really enjoying this conversation and just learning a lot from you. How do you handle the pressure when expectations continue to rise? Cause ooh. I mean, it seems like, and I don't know, man, it seems like you've just kind of like you're nailing it, right? And you're doing all these big things, but.
I have done a lot of therapy. I love my therapist, and I wish everyone could have a therapist like mine. What I struggle with so much is that I have goals for myself. Like,
yeah.
I want to be in a Star Wars project so bad, and I have since I was a child. It's almost painful when these shows and films come out, because I feel so left out. and it's going to either take a very lucky break, you know, or some more time to build a name for myself and to build up my network to where I get even the opportunities to audition for films like that, you know, and to be someone who is profitable enough. It's going to take hard work, years, or some kind of crazy luck. Listeners, if you are out there, hook a girl up. So if I just sit here and think I'm only going to be happy when I'm a Jedi Knight, then I'll be unhappy. Yeah. That's years of of days where I'm what I want to be doing. So for me, it's been about learning how to love the journey, having a gratitude practice, writing down every night in a journal what I'm grateful for that day, gets me in the mindset, and paying attention to the habits that bring me joy. Going to the beach brings me a lot of joy. Being able to be in water, being able to cuddle a pet. Excuse me. So I have a 6-month puppy that I adopted, my pandemic puppy. And she's going through her little fear phase, which is manifesting as barking at any little sound. So that's what's happening. I apologize.
No problem.
You know, but it's been about finding every piece of joy, you know, it like a day that I get to go to the beach is a good day. I might not have been, using the force. But it's getting me closer. I have to enjoy my life. And when I do get those acting jobs, that's just icing on the cake.
For me personally, I'm a huge Green Lantern fan. So I would love to be the Green Lantern. Here's my shirt just for reference in case you ever direct something with the Green Lantern. I'm your guy. So I'm your guy.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, what Marvel is doing is so incredible. Again, it's almost painful for me to watch it. I feel so left out. I'm like, okay, phase 4 might not happen, but what do I have to do to be in phase 5?
Yeah. One last question.
Okay.
I've mentioned multiple times is you've accomplished so many things and you're great at many things, but what is a world-class hidden talent that you possess that that people don't know? But if you were on your first date with someone and, you know, and you really wanted to impress them, you'd bust out, hey, I'm double jointed or something. I don't know.
The pole dancing is always a crowd pleaser. Especially because I think I've got a few pictures up, but I don't think that I You have to kind of dig to find videos. And I don't even know if any of my performances are up. Like, so when I moved to LA, I taught pole dance at Luscious Maven in North Hollywood, and we would do showcases at the Federal in NoHo, the Federal Bar. And it was so much fun to go from, you know, the man's world of the military to this community of really empowered women. Predominantly, yeah, there are men who perform, and non-binary. I mean, it's a very welcoming community. But it felt like gymnastics. It felt like the circus, you know, and it was a slippery slope to different aerial arts and circus arts. I started doing aerial the lira, and I did silks. I didn't love them, but I started to love fire dance. And so those are things that aren't as common. They're definitely growing as a sport. I recommend them to anyone. They're so fun. And then they're so different from the military, of course. So they're usually a fun surprise to pull out.
So pole dancing.
Pole dancing.
I bet it's a great workout. I'm going to put this on you to come up with that title for this episode. there's a lot of quotable things.
That's something we should make Gina do. She's good at catchy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, actually, I have a bonus question. This is for VIP, right? Speaking of pole dancing, but this is for this is for VIP podcast guest. So, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. I don't know if they have billboards, but let's just say they have a billboard on the 101 or the 405, north and south. If there was a billboard with your picture on it for everybody to see, to include all the people stuck in gridlock rush hour traffic, and had your message for everyone to see, what would that message say? Or what would you want it to say?
This is something where I would have to put a lot of work into it, because I would use this as an opportunity to advertise myself as an actor, to try to get a role. And actually, there's a guy I know who just did something similar with a bus. He put his face on a bus poster, and he put his acting contact information. And I feel like those are the kinds of things, if that was a cool picture, it could get someone's attention, and then it could get you on casting's radar. So I don't know. It'd be like one of my headshots, and then a picture of me, like one of my Jedi pictures, something cool. Look, I need like 3 weeks to brainstorm about this, and to, you know, come up with lookbooks and designs, create a whole mood board, test some slogans, some phrases. This isn't something I can just come up with on the fly. This is a big opportunity.
So I'm just going to throw something out there. It'd be you dressed in like whatever Jedi robe.
Yeah,
robes. With like a lightsaber or something, pole dancing. But then, because you have to hold on to the pole with one hand, but on the other hand, you'd be holding on to the pole with one hand and the lightsaber in hand, while on the other hand, you'd be like writing a screenplay, right? So it just shows that you're serious, you're ambitious, but you also like to have a good time.
Multitasker.
You're a multitasker. Yeah. Multitasker.
That's a lot. You know, we have to consider the safety of the drivers. We don't want it to be too much, but I do think you're onto something there.
If people want to learn more about you, what's the best place to go?
ShannonCorbet.com has links to all my social media. I'm at Shannon Corbet on Instagram and Twitter. That's where I'm most active. I'm Shannon Corbet Acting on Facebook, but my YouTube is about to start becoming more active as well. That's, you know, that's also Shannon Corbet. I've tried to make it really easy to Google me.
It was easy for me. And I did copy some show notes I have like more info about the guests can be found here. And my notes say, for whatever reason, I copied your Instagram link, and it says 1,812 posts on their profile. I don't know why it copied that or why it showed that, but that's very active because I think I have 12.
I started Instagram just for funsies. Like the first pictures are just really, it's when like you couldn't upload a picture. You had to take it with your phone in the Instagram app. So if it was edited, it was done with those crazy filters, you know?
Yeah.
So it really looks like garbage until I was like, you know, maybe I should use this for acting.
Thanks again, Shannon, so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. That wraps up this episode of the Passing the Torch podcast. Again, this has been my first podcast in a year and a half. Thanks so much to Shannon Corbett just for her time, her insight, and her inspiration. If you want to help support this movement, help me continue to move forward with this podcast, just please subscribe. You can find this podcast on a variety of podcast forums, just wherever you get your podcasts. All right, everyone, remember, vision, relate, develop. Take care, everyone. Foster out.